Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zumlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today. Bishop Bradley is here with us. Bishop, welcome.
Good morning, Deacon Louis, and good morning to all your listeners. It's wonderful to be with you today.
And Vicki Cessna is here with us, too. Vicki, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
It's good to have you here. So we're going to read the readings for the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and of course, this is just liturgy of the word in order to receive the other half of our of what is a normal church mass, a Catholic mass. You need to go to mass because then there's liturgy of the Eucharist where you can receive Holy Communion. But these readings are read at Catholic churches all throughout the world this very day, this very Sunday. So we're really hoping that you can be with us and listen to the bishop's comments on this. So we're going to start in. And we'll also talk about, you know, things that are going on in the diocese, too, and things that are going on in the church, as well as maybe even a few things about Pope Francis. So we're going to start right in with our first reading, which is Genesis 2, 18 through 24. That's Genesis 2, 18 through 24. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a suitable partner for him." So the Lord God formed out of the ground various wild animals and various birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called each of them, it would be their name. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all the wild animals, but none proved to be a suitable partner for the man. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man. For a while he was asleep, he took one of the ribs and closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then built the rib up into a woman, and that he had taken from the man. When he brought her to the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman. For out of her, man, this one has been taken. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them become one flesh." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A responsorial psalm, Psalm 128, verses 1 to 2, 3, 4 to 5, and 6. May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives.
May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives.
Blessed are you who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways, for you shall eat the fruit of your handiwork. Blessed shall you be and favored.
May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives.
Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the recesses of your home, your children like olive plants around your table.
May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives.
Behold, thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life.
May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives.
May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel.
May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives.
Our second reading from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Brothers and sisters, he for a little while was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader to their salvation perfect through suffering. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And today's gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter, the 2nd to the 16th verse. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some very challenging scriptures for all of us today in our lives and in our culture. And we see this word divorce, and it kind of scares us all, but it's, I think so often, and I'm sure Bishop, you'll agree with some of these things too, that these things happen in our lives, but the question is, how do we handle them? All disappointments, good, bad, our lives, how do we handle them? With or without God?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you bring up a good point. You know, we live in our own reality. But the only way for us to know if there is reason to be disappointed, or you know, if we're on the right track, or if we've gone astray a little bit, is to be tuned into and very much aware of, well, what's the original plan?
Right.
So and unless we're totally aware of what God's intention is, how do we know if we're not living up to it? So, you know, I think that's what the scripture readings provide for us today. They lay out the original plan. As we know, God's original plan was after the creation of man and woman, that they were intended to live forever and all generations to come in the pleasures and the total fulfillment and joy of the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
Something changed that plan. Mm-hmm. And as we all know, it was when sin entered into that plan, derailed it, and kind of made a reality far different from God's original plan. But, you know, what we see here is that the process of creation is still underway. In the, mm-hmm. in the first reading that we heard from the book of Genesis, God had already made the seven, practically the 7 days of all creation. We know how that all came about in a kind of an orderly way, whereas we acknowledge today in a kind of evolving over a period of time, whether it was 7 days as we understand days or if it was seven other segments of time, somehow or another, from the smallest molecule to the grandeur of the human person, mm-hmm. God is the force behind that creation. And so we heard that God had created all the animals and all the plants and all the birds and the beautiful aspects of the world around us, and he had created man, the male version of man. And when God asked Adam, "Well, here's all that, look at all the animals that are here." And Adam gave names to them, as according to the Genesis account. He named what we now know as the elephants and the lions and the tigers and the monkeys and all of that. But while they were nice, they weren't what Adam was ultimately needing.
Yes.
And that was to have somebody, somebody to whom and with whom he could relate. A partner. And that's what we heard at the beginning of today's reading. The Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone, even though you're surrounded by all these beautiful animals and all creation. I will make a suitable partner for him. So creation continued on. And in the version that we heard today, the beautiful image of Adam being put into a deep sleep and God taking the rib from Adam and building up what came to be known as woman out of the man. And she, of course, became known as Eve, with the name of Eve. And that's why when Adam saw her, mm-hmm. the exclamation was so powerful, this one at last is bone of my bones and flesh mm-hmm. of my flesh. This one is the one for whom I now can live the rest of my life in joy. And the reading goes on, even though there was no father and mother for Adam to leave. That is why a man leaves his father and mother mm-hmm. and clings to his wife. And the two of them become one flesh. So it was that ongoing sense of creation. And that is God's plan. So we know that the plan doesn't always work out that way. Mm-hmm. And that's what we hear, you know, being talked about, of course, in today's gospel when the Pharisees test, you know, St. Mark tells us that they came to test. They weren't really interested in Jesus's opinion. They were hoping they could get him to say something that would get him into trouble. They right. came to test him. And so asked the question, is divorce lawful or not? And Jesus, in a typical, wonderful rabbinic style, said, well, what do you think? Mm-hmm. What did Moses say?
Right.
You know Moses, so what mm-hmm. did Moses teach? And then, of course, the conversation goes on from there. Moses did permit a writ of divorce. Jesus clarified that and said, well, that's because, you know, your hard of hearts, your hardness of hearts. But in the beginning, God, Jesus himself then goes back to what was the ideal?
Right.
And quotes the passage that we hear in the first reading mm-hmm. today. So the gospel and the first reading go beautifully together because Jesus quotes it himself and reminds us that the ideal is that a man leaves his father and mother, clings to his wife, and the two become one. And so therefore, if you have something that's one, you can't divide it without breaking it somehow.
Yes.
And so that was Jesus's take on the question. Now, of course, we know that we live in a world where divorce is unfortunately very, very common. We acknowledge that not everybody's able to live up to what I'm sure they themselves see as their intention when they enter into marriage. But you know, I think it's always important for us to know from whence we've come. What's the original plan? And that's the way we can somehow gauge what is it that we're trying to work toward then.
And I think even in preparing this, you know, we're talking that this is difficult scripture. And the Catholic Church, you know, we deal with difficult things and talk about difficult things. And this is a difficult scripture. So a lot of other churches, you might not hear this scripture, you know. They talk about keeping it in the bottom drawer, you know. That's something you just don't want to get out. But the thing is how do we handle sin today? Of course, you know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees. It was a problem back then and how they dealt with things. And so how do we handle our lives, you know, once the fall has happened? Now what do we do? And Jesus gives us that answer.
Well, I'd be interested to hear, because both of you are living the state of the sacrament of marriage in your own lives, and I am not, as a celibate priest, but I'm just wondering from your perspective, you know, how you hear these readings today and how that goes to your own heart.
I think that when I hear these readings, I definitely, as someone who's been married a while, I think you're right. No one goes into sitting at the altar at their wedding thinking they'll get divorced or anything. But I am drawn to Jesus's advocacy for women and children in mm-hmm. this regard, because he's not in any way saying, gee, if this isn't your ideal. He's saying these were marginalized people and you can't just, you know, you need to respect them. So that those are kind of the things I think about when I hear this, and why it melds well with the, marries well with the pun, with the children's, bring the children to me. Because mm-hmm. I think it just shows Jesus was always looking out for the people on the margins.
Right.
So I think of that more mm-hmm. than, but I love the Genesis, you know, you are one. I mean, that is the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always easy to live out because you have your own personal, you know, wants and desires. Sure. And so, but it's good to be one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is, yes, the ideal, and it is, things go better when that's happening.
Right. For sure, yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's also, you know, when they talk about this tearing apart and, you know, let no man put asunder, this tearing to pieces, what happens and when a family falls apart, okay? And I see that. I talk to people about that. You know, in Europe, they handle it much differently. You know, if you want to get a divorce, you have to go see your parish priest or deacon or whomever before you go to the civil authorities. But I still, you know, I agree with you, Bishop, you know, sometimes things don't work out, you know, and sin enters into things. Things fall. You know, we have things that don't go perfectly in the church, but we don't run away from it. We deal with it. We confront it. We confront sin just like we do in a marriage. Just like a priest does when his marriage to the church, as a deacon does to his marriage to the church. And in a very specific way, you know, I had to get permission from my wife before I could enter into this diaconate process.
Sure.
With the church. So her, the woman, as Vicky is saying, the woman, and I go back to the Blessed Mother, and I know, mm-hmm. Bishop, you have a great devotion to the Blessed Mother. In a certain way, Jesus does turn everything upside down,
mm-hmm.
where the man needs to look at not only himself, but to look at the woman.
Mm-hmm.
What is my relationship with her? What is my relationship with children? You know, do I serve them or do I just ignore them?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very powerful scripture, very difficult scripture for us.
Mm-hmm.
But marriage, staying married, just like staying a good priest, a good bishop, a good police officer, a good lawyer or doctor, takes discipline. And more than anything, I think, takes God.
Well, and I think there's something to be said, as we're all saying here. I mean, we know that we live in the real world. We don't live in an ideal setting, but we have to live in the midst of reality. But we always still, that's why I said before, we need to know what's God's plan. Mm. And I think that's why the church is such a strong advocate for marriage.
Amen.
Obviously, it doesn't throw people out who get divorced. You know, people are always welcome and ministered to and received as very much still part of the church. But the church still advocates for the sanctity of marriage, the importance of marriage in the family. You know, because if we live in a world where we just deal with reality and we don't have ideals to strive for or to keep keep focused on. And maybe nobody survives a marriage, because as you're saying, Vicki, there's you have these moments, and if you don't hold on to your faith, if you don't hold on to your own set of saying, I want this to work out because you have an ideal for that, then, you know, maybe we all live in the midst of everything's broken down.
Yes.
So I think that's why it's so important that our faith continues to remind us what's the ideal. Now, we know this, what the statistics are. We know that some people say 50% of marriages end in divorce. I'm not sure if that is still the accurate data. I saw someplace recently that young people entering into marriage in these days, in this age, the rate of divorce for them is much lower. And perhaps that's some sense of hope, because it's not just to keep a marriage together no matter what. I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense if people are just absolutely miserable and hurting one another in the process. The ideal is to have that unity, as you were talking about, Vicki, that sense of, well, how is it that we can make whatever adjustments are in my own thinking for the sake of the good of the marriage, for the sake of the blessings on the family, to try to keep that whole. So I think that's it's important that the church, as you say, Deacon, you know, we don't ignore these readings. In fact, we bring them up, and for the very purpose of just reminding us, what is it that we're striving for?
Amen. In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program, and we're visiting with Bishop Paul Bradley, the Bishop of the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And if you're interested in anything about the Diocese of Kalamazoo, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org. And of course, there's a good amount of information there on everything that's going on in the Catholic Church, good, bad, and otherwise, you know, things that we're dealing with on a daily basis, on a yearly basis. You know, the church is 2,000 years of history, but also a good source for news as well. Good Catholic news is EWTN.com, and as well as, of course, the diocese website. And I know, you know, not to get off subject too much, but I know there's the new newsletter is going to be coming out pretty soon too, right? The new type of the good news. We could probably touch on that for a couple minutes.
Sure. We have a lot of new things that we've been working on. Deacon Louis, one is we are going to be working on a magazine, a feature magazine that will be mailed to registered parishioners' homes within the 9-county region of our diocese, which is what you think of when you think of Southwest Michigan. And we're excited about that as a way to come into people's homes with features about our faith, and as a way of evangelizing and recognizing that we don't always reach there's about 70% of people we're not seeing every Sunday, so we'd like to see them back.
Right. That's a good reminder. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm really excited about that too. So let's go back to the scriptures, Bishop.
Well, you know, kind of in keeping with that, and you had made some allusion to the fact that there are things that are going on in the church right now that are certainly very challenging. And as we all know, the child sexual abuse scandal that has kind of rocked people of faith, and particularly Catholic people, over the course of these last couple of months in the summertime, as things have come to light about Cardinal, now Archbishop McCarrick, who was just a terrible revelations of his own role as a predator of children, in several children over the course of his life, and the results of the Pennsylvania Grand Jury report. That has, you know, given all of us reason to, many people, reason to either feel alienated from the church, or even perhaps want to step away from the practice of their faith because they've lost trust in church leadership. So these are difficult days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think what we are in the process of doing is trying to do everything that we can to acknowledge the terrible things that have happened, to apologize to anybody who's ever been hurt by somebody that certainly should never ever do anything so heinous as sexually abuse a child, whether that's a priest, a bishop, or a trusted layperson within the church. And so making reparation for that. In fact, this evening or this afternoon at St. Philip's in Battle Creek, I'll be celebrating one of the three masses of reparation and healing. I'd certainly invite anybody in the Battle Creek area to come for that at 3:00 next Saturday at St. Joseph in St. Joseph. Will be the third of those masses of reparation and healing, with an opportunity that I will be available after the mass for a conversation of sorts. If anybody wants to stay and express their concerns or ask any questions or get clarifications of any sort, all in the process of trying to rebuild that sense of trust, but also to convey a sense of confidence in the fact that here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, we have policies and procedures in place to make sure that all of our children are protected, and there's the safeguards are certainly what they need to be, and keep trying to build on those. And so it is a challenging time, mm-hmm. and we certainly, I've asked all of our people to pray and sacrifice, which are two wonderful spiritual practices in the face of difficulties, not for their own sins necessarily, but just for the sins of the whole church. But also there are action plans that are being put in place and steps that are being taken in order to make sure that we can do that. And so I just certainly want to acknowledge that and to ask everybody's continued prayers for that.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop. And also for us as we continue on too, and we do in this radio program, to continue to ask people to continue to pray. You know, this is a human problem. We belong to a human family. And we have a lot of failings, my brothers and sisters, so we can pray and help one another. So just a few minutes left. Bishop, yes, continue.
Well, there was just one more point that I wanted to make. Mm-hmm. Next Sunday,
yes,
October 14th, mm-hmm. is the our diocesan celebration of the 50th wedding anniversary mass. Awesome. And so we're talking about marriage. And this is an annual event where we invite people from around the diocese who are celebrating golden wedding anniversaries or beyond to be able to come and be celebrated, to be prayed for in a special way. And so we have always a cathedral full of couples who come with their families. And then we have a wonderful opportunity to celebrate with them following the mass as well. So I just want to make sure that we know that we've talked about divorce, we talked about some realities, but
yes,
there we tip our hats and are truly inspired by those who live good, loving, yeah, joyful, faithful marriages throughout their lives.
And this is our lives as a family, as a human family, as a church family. We have difficulties, right? But we don't just give up and go stick our head in the sand. You know, right, we have to deal with some of these realities, and the best way to do that is with the love of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Jesus wants to help us. People have been receiving the Holy Eucharist for some 2,000 years now, and that is to strengthen us, that is to transform us, that is to help us in these tough times. And these are tough times, my brothers and sisters, and it's not the time to give up. You know, we have our good bishop here. We have Vicki Cessna here. We're speaking to you. We're speaking from our hearts that we love you and we care about you. And we want our diocese to heal. We want our church to heal. We want the world to heal.
That's
so,
right.
Bishop, if you could give us your blessing, that would be wonderful.
Well, I'm very glad to have been with all of you today, and I pray that you'll have a wonderful rest of this Sunday. And we ask the Lord's blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. We love you.